Life Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at Oracle Cloud World, and I'm talking with Guy Armstrong, Senior Vice President of UK and Ireland. And we're going to talk about applications and the applications business from Oracle. Guy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ian. My name's Guy Armstrong, and I'm responsible for the Oracle Cloud applications business in the UK and Ireland. That means I'm accountable for the customer journey from considering cloud applications all the way through to buying cloud applications, using those cloud applications and deriving value from it, and then hopefully renewing their contracts and buying more as we go on that journey to try and fully enable the customer from an Oracle perspective.
Oracle's decided to go your own route with cloud, not jump in with Google or Amazon or Microsoft, who are the three big cloud players. A lot of us were not quite sure, to begin with, whether this was going to be a lockdown play or how you were going to do this, but you've since now expanded out to support other clouds. How has that been received by customers? Were customers happy about just going to your cloud, or have customers pushed you for a hybrid cloud world?
When I look at it from an inside-out perspective, we've got a phenomenal opportunity to provide a simple one-stop shop to the customer around Oracle on-premise applications, Oracle cloud applications, and the infrastructure associated with it. We're very unique in the market in terms of having the ability to provide everything that you need across that whole journey. When we look at some of our competitors, they struck agreements with the big hyperscalers. My experience of working in those environments is that the commercial complexity that you have to manage from an inside-out perspective is high, and it's rare, very rare, that the customer isn't impacted by that complexity. The One Oracle approach, in terms of an inside-out, provides a good advantage to the customer, but interestingly enough, the customer still has that choice. You don't have to buy all Oracle. You can pick and mix in terms of what's best for you. We're very open to that. The customer journey is absolutely key. We have a massive portfolio. It's unlikely that customers will buy absolutely everything in it, and they won't buy it all at once. What's really important for us is that we have that informed dialogue with the customer so they understand what we do have, how that's evolving over time, and how that can enable them. It is a proper journey. I know that sounds like a cliche. It's an ongoing, live, organic process.
Watching how organizations have adapted, and not just large enterprises now, but an awful lot of medium-sized enterprises, and some at the top end of the small enterprise, they're no longer looking at our on-premises and our engagement with one supplier and one cloud environment. They have multiple cloud environments with multiple applications. And that has created quite a challenge for some of them, particularly with migration. You use words like journey, excellence. How do we take these customers forward? How complex has that been for yourselves in helping customers make that migration in a steady, stable environment? Because I've been doing migration many years, and the word stable rarely comes into any conversation.
What's really important is having that open dialogue with the customer and understanding what the outcome that they're trying to drive is, then making sure everybody's behind that outcome. We've spoken before around product supremacy, customer intimacy, and delivery excellence. The delivery excellence piece is really, really important, as is the customer intimacy piece. Understanding what the customer's trying to do as their business transformation, ensuring that we enable that through that technology transformation, is super important. The delivery excellence piece is all about how you ensure that a program is mutually delivered, where time to value is shortened, the customer can see that risk is mitigated, but at the same time, they don't lose focus on what they're trying to do as an organization whilst they're trying to implement a technical transformation. You still have to deliver to the capital markets. So it's really important that you don't lose sight of that. That's something which is important for us to manage in terms of our customer engagement.
In terms of that delivery excellence piece, when we first started talking cloud to customers, it was all about money. It was get rid of the on-prem, go to cloud, lower cost, CapEx versus OpEx, think of the savings. Today, people's view of cloud has changed quite substantially. They're not just looking at savings, they're looking at functionality. They're looking at taking advantage of new models. They're looking at speed of delivery across their organizations. How much is that reflected when you talk to customers or when your partners talk to customers in this? And how much of that is still very much leading them down that line as they make the migration?
Everything that you say is super relevant. Our customers are really on message with all of that. They're not trying to work that out. They have a clear perspective on scalability, security, risk, how you manage change. They're in the forefront of the customer's mind. We're very level set in terms of where we're at. We're not advising customers on the benefits of cloud. Our customers are very tuned in. They're quite specific in terms of when and how they'll derive those benefits.
How has cloud changed your application model? I've dealt with Oracle for 30 plus years, when we got one update a year. We planned for most of the year, and then most of the year we were applying the update. But cloud is different. Customers now have an expectation of continuous updates, continuous change, without disruption. From an applications perspective, how much does that change your model? How much does that change your thinking? And where does that take Oracle going forwards?
It's a massive topic. Going back to your last question, one of the things that customers demand, and quite rightly so, is how does the cloud provide innovation? To your point, innovation is absolutely essential. One of the things that the cloud solution provides to the customer is continual innovation. 77% plus of the upgrades that we provide around the application are customer driven. The whole customer intimacy dialogue with the customer, where's the value in terms of the application for you, how should it change, providing those updates. It's very different to the on-prem world. I lived in the on-prem world. I know exactly what you mean about the extensions, modifications, the total cost of ownership, the risk of upgrades, and how do you manage that process, trying to reduce innovation into very fixed time boxes. Cloud takes that veil away, and the requirement to innovate is constant. It's a huge value to having a cloud application versus an on-premise application. It does give you that constant innovation.
When we look at that constant innovation, we've moved to platforms from applications, which is a significant shift because no longer are we customizing, writing code continually behind the scene, migrating code. Actually, we're configuring. The emphasis moves much more away from how we tune those applications to how do we secure those applications and the data within them, and how do we move further forward from that point in time. What changes has that brought to the way you view applications and how your customers view applications?
A cloud application is very organic. Our customers see that in the same way. What our customers buy today, you can't pour concrete over that and freeze it for 5 years. Our customers are on a journey and they want flexibility. They want to be able to adapt. The cloud applications and our product roadmaps around them are vital to all organizations, to all customers. It's really important that we keep that dialogue open between ourselves and our customers. When we're talking about journeys, we're talking to our customers about their strategic journeys, and we're ensuring that our product roadmaps are aligned to those journeys as well. We can't have a customer waking up in 5 years' time and thinking, I don't need to be here, I need to be over there. We need to have that dialogue early and understand that those innovations that are released enable the customers to progress and allow all the goodness around flexibility, pace, adaptability, and allow real-time decision-making.
How has your customer model changed historically? Oracle's customer model was large enterprises, a degree of mid-size, but no small enterprises. You weren't in the price game for them. Cloud gives people access to things for what they want. Are you seeing an increasing number of top-end small-sized enterprises into the lower mid now coming into your orbit?
That is a good question. When I look at the business over the last 3 years, I don't see a dramatic shift from a large enterprise environment into the mid-market or vice versa. The proportions are very balanced, remain very balanced. We see strong growth in the market, a healthy proportion of net new names in our portfolio. Those net new names would scale both enterprise and mid-market. We've got the NetSuite solution, which addresses a market dynamic that is outside of my remit. But I wouldn't say that we've seen a pendulum shift across enterprise to mid, or vice versa, but strong growth across both of the areas. In net new name terms, also from our install base customers, we're seeing an expansion and extension of the Oracle environments.
When we talk about innovation in products, you can't get away from generative AI at the moment. Yet one of the things we've seen here at CloudWorld is the delivery of generative AI. Some of it's going to be up to a year out within the healthcare services on the provider side. Some of it's here now on the patient side. On some of the other applications, where are we in terms of your timescales for delivering generative AI and making life easier for customers?
AI has been in the application for quite some time now. It's not a new introduction into the application. We're seeing more generative AI being applied. Steve Miranda's talked about that at CloudWorld. And there's a whole list of applications where AI is growing and growing. We'll continue to see that. It's important across all customer industries. AI provides some material benefits. We will continue to grow AI in the application moving forward. The benefits of AI are definitely here to stay. The requirement of AI within cloud applications will continue to grow. And our customers will continue to demand that growth as we move forward.
One of the challenges, however, with AI is building our large language models, but also the compute power that it consumes behind the scenes to keep everything up to date, add new data in, build all of its vectors. How much does that shift pricing models? How much does that shift engagement with customers? Because if our original move to cloud was cost-based, but now we consume vastly more CPU and memory and other resources, that cost shifts yet again. We're taking advantage of new features, new capabilities, but they're more hungry in those base resources, which changes our cost models. How do you balance off that change of what new technology requires with keeping stability in pricing for customers?
That is a huge question. I could be a bit flippant and say that's the right question just to the wrong person. That's the question that you would ask the customer. But you're absolutely right. We should, and we do have a point of view on it. The challenge we have across tech is data. There's so much of it that as you access, manage, store and leverage it, the data models are huge. We were talking about this earlier in terms of different industries. If you look at healthcare and you look at patients and you look at the healthcare industry, the size of the data, the accessibility of the data, the complexity of the data, it's just growing and growing and growing. The cloud application is an element that sits within a whole system, whole portfolio of infrastructure and applications that are all integrated. But to your point around how does the requirement to manage such huge amounts of data impact the cloud application pricing, I don't think it does directly. We have to ensure that our price point is appropriate in terms of what the customer wants to spend, what the business case is to spend that, what the competitive landscape is as well. We're more governed on those dimensions than data. I know that data is a cost that the customer has to consider in terms of how much of it are they going to store, what are they going to do with it. That's something that they need to consider, but that, dare I say, it doesn't have a direct impact in terms of our pricing model for the application, the cloud application.
Partners historically owned a bunch of customers. They knew what they were doing. They were working on the customer's premises, and when cloud first came along, they were finding their way with customers into cloud. Partners now have to be as savvy about cloud as you do and be ahead of the customer. Are you finding a significant shift in your partner base in terms of their knowledge, their understanding, and their engagement with both you and customers?
Absolutely. It's a phenomenal shift. Our partner ecosystem is critical to us. It provides us the scale that we need to support the market and support our customers within the market. Their knowledge and capability around cloud applications has got to be really advanced in terms of the product itself and also in terms of how to implement a program successfully that has the stuff that we talked about before in terms of risk mitigation and time to value. The partner community's knowledge around the topic of cloud has evolved massively. it will continue to evolve and need to evolve, because the third dimension around delivery excellence for us really does reside around our partner knowledge. Our partner knowledge in terms of implementation is huge. There's lots of industrialized solutions that our partners have created over time whilst implementing, but both on-prem and cloud solutions, which are important to us, but even more important to the customer.
One of the reasons for asking that is we saw a tectonic shift last week. Oracle Database at Azure. No longer customers and partners having to work multi-cloud to access the database on OCI and the apps running elsewhere, but now Oracle's own database inside Azure, taking advantage of Azure services. It puts a lot more requirement then on your partners to be able to understand multiple clouds and understand the key elements of those clouds when you're talking to customers to deploy. Now, I appreciate the announcement was only last week, so you're not going to have any big cases you can talk about. But as you look forward with your applications and maybe start to consider other parts of your application portfolio running on other vendors' clouds, how does that reshape both your view from an applications team and your requirements of your partners?
Those are two questions that probably need to be addressed individually. I'll go on the partner. Again, it's the same answer to the previous question. Our partners will undoubtedly see this evolution as an opportunity. They will invest their capability to support our customers in that environment. So I think we will see a natural growth of knowledge within the partner community to ensure that they can remain as a value-added informed partner to the Oracle customer. We have a very strong alliances program. We work very closely with our partners. I had a meeting with them just before meeting with you in terms of our UK and Ireland three-year plan. We will engage our partners on our three-year plan, so they know exactly what our strategic intentions are, when we intend to invoke them, and how that impacts them. And that would happen not just in the UK and Ireland, but it would happen all across the world to ensure that as we shift in Oracle, our partner community shift with us in unison to ensure that we provide the best possible innovation to the customer.
How does it affect the application side? Because you own the stack at the moment. Once you start to be on other people's cloud, you no longer have a tightly bound stack. Your applications are now very loosely coupled, and you're working inside somebody else's stack.
That's probably quite a detailed product question that Steve Miranda and Steve's team will have asked themselves as we stepped into that journey. How do we ensure that the application evolves in a way that ensures it's effective in all of these environments? Steve's team will ensure that that does take place, and then those applications clearly filter down into the various countries, and then we can take them to market.
What can we expect from the applications team over the next couple of years as not just OCI evolves, but as Oracle now goes on this journey to adding generative AI and working inside other people's cloud stacks?
What should we expect? We should expect that Oracle Cloud application will continue to evolve at pace to ensure that we are delivering innovation to the customer. It's not just providing innovation, it's providing easily consumed innovation that evolves over time to ensure that as the customer transforms their business models, our applications are leading the way in terms of how they can take their next step in their organizational transformation programs. We'll see more investment and more innovation in the product. We'll see more investment from our partner communities to stay aligned with that innovation. And I think we'll continue to see increased levels of customer intimacy and discussion and debate on their journey and how we can fulfill their requirements to transform.
Guy, thank you for talking with me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.